بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, today we are living in difficult times, and one of the things that I have noticed, and I'm sure you also would have noticed, is the constant barrage of negative messages. Not only is there a constant barrage of negative messages from people who are not Muslim, but there is a constant barrage of negative messages also from Muslims, telling us how bad we are, and telling us how enslaved we are, and telling us all kinds of bad stuff. I mean, it's just the constant barrage of this. Muslims are bad, Muslims are this, bad in this way, bad in this way, bad in this way, bad in this way. As if we are the sort of repositories of everything negative in the world. There's no one worse than us. There's no one more powerless than us. There is no one who is more filthy, dirty, greedy, whatever, right? Everything bad. Who is that? Muslims. So I thought it's important for us to look at facts. To begin with, let me say that I'm not saying that we are the opposite, that we are the best and we are the repositories of everything which is good. That is also equally wrong. What is actual fact is that we, generally speaking, are like every other community or all other people. We have some good and we have something which should become good. So there is obviously a lot of room for improvement, and I am the first person to say that. I will never deny that. Having said that, let us see what we do have. And I want to talk about facts and figures and numbers, not figments of the imagination. Let's take a couple of parameters. First and foremost, let us take the parameter of how people respond to calamity. Because to judge the spiritual and moral strength of people, looking at people when they are doing well, you don't find that. Because when people are doing well, everyone looks strong. To judge the spiritual and moral strength of anyone, you have to see how they respond in disaster. When there is a calamity, when there is a bereavement, when there is loss, then what happens? Now, I don't have to list the number of locations and the number of places in the world where, and I'm not talking about the ancient past, I'm not talking about the 12th century, 13th century when Baghdad was sacked by the Mongols and so on. I'm talking about right here, 21st century. I'm talking about a time period which, for the sake of calculation, let us say in the last 50 years. And I'm saying 50 years because 50 years is well within my lifetime. 50 years ago, I was 23 years old. No, I was 13 years old. But still, that's not too bad. So the point is that, let's say the last 50 years. In the last 50 years, what are the major calamitous things that happen to Muslims? And I'm not saying this in any chronological order, just what comes to my mind. One is, take Bosnia and what happened in the Balkans. Major massacres, I mean unbelievable massacres of Muslims, men, women and children. People were running, I don't want to go into the details of all this. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So that is Bosnia. Then we have Palestine, which is of course ongoing. Then we have the Rohingyas in Myanmar, in Burma. We have what is allegedly happening with the Uyghurs in China. We have, if you look at wars, you have what is happening right now in Yemen. you have Iraq and Syria, which were strong, healthy economies, and Libya, three of them, Syria, Libya, and Iraq, strong, healthy economies, doing well. There were millions of people who went from the subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, working there. A majority of them were non-Muslim, who were working there, who worked there for literally generations and built their whole families and everything else here. All of them smashed to smithereens on a bunch of lies, right? And many more. So, I'm not doing a listing of things. In all of these, we are looking at how do people respond to calamities. As a result of these, you have huge refugee populations of Muslims drifting over the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But tell me, how many of you have heard of Muslims committing suicide because of despair? Have you heard that? Rohingyas committing mass suicide because of despair. Uyghurs committing mass suicide because of despair. Palestinians in Gaza committing mass suicide because of despair. Have you ever heard this? Muslims committing suicide because of despair, because of what happened to them, what happened to their lands, what happened to their children, what happened to their businesses, what happened to their countries, for no fault of theirs. They did not invade anybody. They did not loot anybody. They did not leave their countries. People came from outside, invaded them, raped them, massacred them, smashed them to smithereens for no reason other than they said, La ilaha illallah. Yet have you heard of Muslims committing suicide because of despair? I haven't heard. I have not heard one case, one single case, alhamdulillah. That is the meaning of strength. That is the meaning of strength. That is the ultimate test of strength. What does a person do when they are faced with calamitous loss? We are not talking about, losing 10 bucks. Calamitous loss. Next one. We Muslims are accused of splurging money, of wasting money, of spending on luxuries, and so on and so forth. And as I said, I am the first of them to admit that this is true. You know me and my position on ostentatious weddings, for example. So all of this is true. I mean, I'm not trying to whitewash any of that. Yes, it is true. Is it good? No, it is not good. We should stop doing that. It's absolute rubbish and nonsense. But again, come back to the numbers. If you take any community in the world, no matter where, which country, if you take them collectively together and you say, what is the total amount of money that they spend in charity? The Muslims outstrip everybody else by a huge margin, major margin. Take zakat and take what they spend over and above zakat. As a community, as a whole, we spend more than anybody else. I'm not inventing the figures, go look them up. Take in Britain, for example. The number one most charitable community in Britain are the Muslims. Once again, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Third parameter, education. We like to talk about how ignorant we are. We like to talk about how lousy our education systems are. And by that, we mean the madrasas and so on and so forth. Again, as I said, I'm not denying any of that. Yes, we are ignorant. We are far more ignorant than we have any right to be. The madrasas and everything else, yes, there is huge room for improvement. There's always room for improvement. I mean, if anyone takes any system and says that we are at the top and there is no need for improvement, then that is the most ignorant statement. So, if somebody says the madrasas need improvement, of course they need improvement. However, as a community again, look at the amount of money we spend on education. And I am giving you only one example. Do the same examples in different countries. In India, according to the Sachar Committee report, the report of, on minorities, they say, in that report it says that there are 2 million children in madrasas. Now, the actual number is much more than that. 2 million is what the Searcher Committee report reported because of the census they took, and they took the census, they didn't take the census of every little madrasa in every village and in every street and mahalla. So, 2 million. Now, I am just doing a very rough back of the envelope calculation. If I say that 1000 rupees per month is spent per child, that's a very basic amount. Actual amount spent is more than that, and 1000 in madrasa, as we know, it accounts for their food, it accounts for their accommodation, and it accounts for their teaching, books and their teachers and everything together. So I'm saying if 1000 rupees is spent per child, 2 million children is 2 billion rupees per month. That is 24 billion rupees per year spent in India alone by the community, which the same Searcher Committee report said is the most economically backward, meaning poor, in this country. That community, which is the most economically backward and the poorest community, still has so much, still gives so much of importance to education that they are spending 2 billion rupees per month, 24 billion rupees per year on education. Yes, it needs to be improved. Yes, the quality and so on must improve. Yes, we should do more and so on and so forth. No denying any of that. But my point is, here is this community which is the poorest, and they are, and believe me, that the money being spent on madrasas, there is not one single cent, one single paisa, one single rupee that is coming from any source other than Muslims. So I'm giving you only that figure. I'm not talking about any other schools and scholarship programs and so, all of which Muslims are doing. I'm not looking at any of that. I'm just saying this one thing. So what do you want to say about that community? That they are the worst, that the more back, that they are the most ignorant, that they are the most backward. What do you want to say? So my submission to you is, ignore all this rubbish that is coming. Do what you can do to the best of your ability and feel good for yourself. Say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. We are a community which takes care of itself. We are a community, despite all of this, despite all the beating and bashing, how many Muslims have you seen or heard about who have left Islam? How many Muslims have you heard? I mean, how many Muslims have you heard who have left Islam because they are being beaten up because they were Muslim? So, Alhamdulillah, we are true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we are weak in that. Yes, we have faults, our salah and so on and so on. That is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is ghafur rahim. Alhamdulillah, we expect Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, expect the best from Allah. What do I expect from Allah? Jannatul firdaus ala bi ghairi hisab. Khalas. Do I deserve it? I don't deserve it. That is why I expect it, because my Rabb will give me inshallah. And He will give you also. Expect the best. Alhamdulillah. We are true to our Rabb jalla jalaluhu. We are charitable even when we do not have enough. We focus on education even when we do not have enough. We do not despair even in the face of calamities. Alhamdulillah, we are strong. Alhamdulillah, we believe in Allah. Alhamdulillah, we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nahnu tawakkalna ala Allah. Faqat la sharika lahu. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd. The mulk does not belong to anybody else. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. This is our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. So feel good about yourself. Bring a smile on your face. Stop listening to negative rubbish that comes from anywhere. I don't care who says it. Throw it back in their face. Yes, there is room for improvement. I'm not saying all this because now you can go home and relax. No, you can't go home and relax. Get off your backside. Stop doing stupid stuff. Stop wasting money. Stop doing ostentatious weddings. Stop doing ghazal programs. If somebody is doing that, stop them. Don't participate in it. Take that money and spend it on good stuff, on useful stuff, on development. Do all of that. But there is no need to walk around looking like the walking dead. There's no need to walk around feeling so bad about yourself. There's nothing to feel bad. Alhamdulillah. Feel good about yourselves. Alhamdulillah, we are strong. Alhamdulillah, we will remain strong. And nobody and no force on the face of this earth which exists or can come into existence can or will destroy us, insha'Allah al-Musta'an. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.